For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Condition of Man Apart from God, as we pick up in Romans chapter 3, verse 10. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There are none that understand. There is none that seeks after God. Now, this is an amazing statement. Paul is quoting from the Psalms. But this is an amazing statement that God has declared. He said, there are none who are seeking after God. So often we hear people say, well, all religions lead to God. And after all, if a person is sincere, won't God accept his sincerity? Look at the way these people are seeking after God. You know, they cut themselves. They afflict themselves. They spend these hours in meditation. Surely God will accept them because they are seeking after God. The scripture said they are not seeking after God. If they're not seeking after God, then what are they seeking after? The motivation behind much of this is, as they will tell you, they're seeking after a peace of mind. And those who get into that meditation bit, they testify of that peace of mind, that tranquility that they come to. And that's what they're seeking, is a tranquility of mind. They're not really seeking God, but seeking their own tranquility. Seeking their own peace. They are all of them gone out of the way. That is the way of God. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that is doing good. No, not one. Now he goes on to quote many more scriptures from the Psalms. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now this is God's indictment. God is speaking through the psalmist and declaring the condition of man apart from God. Now we know that what things the law says, it says to those that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, here is one basic mistake that man has made concerning the law of God. God never gave the law to make a person righteous by obeying the law. That was never the intention of the law. For the law cannot make a person righteous, even if you kept the law, which you haven't. By the law is the knowledge of sin. That was the purpose of the law. To make the whole world guilty before God, or make the whole world cognizant of their guilt before God. That's why God gave the law. There are so many who seek to sort of promote and exalt their own righteous works, their own goodness. And there are many people who are daring to come before God on the basis of I am a good person or I am a moral person. And it is interesting to me today that the Jewish people, for the most part, are seeking acceptance by God on the basis of their good works. Last Friday night was Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It used to be under the covenant that God made with them on the Day of Atonement, the priest would go into the Holy of Holies with the blood of the goat to offer before God for the sins of the nation. But now the Day of Atonement is not the day of the great sacrifice, but the Day of Atonement is the day of reflection, where you sit and you reflect over the past year, over the work that you have done. And you seek to balance out your life so that your good works overbalance your bad works. And so Yom Kippur is now the day of reflection over the good works and the evil works that you've done. And there is, of course, that endeavor the week before to do enough good works so that when you reflect that day, you can tip the scales in the right side, you know. My good works have outnumbered my evil. The law was not given to make one righteous. For if righteousness could come by the law, any law, if God could give us rules tonight to make us righteous, then Christ did not need to die. In fact, his death was in vain. So the law spoke to those who were under the law to stop every mouth. That is, to stop every mouth from boasting in their own righteousness. And by the deeds of the law, no flesh can be justified in God's sight. For by the law is only the knowledge of sin. It just shows me where I have failed. Now, this is to have a proper understanding of the law, which the Pharisees did not have in the days of Jesus. And they were so misinterpreting the law that they were using it for the wrong purpose entirely. They were using the law to sort of fortify their feeling of self-righteousness. And Paul talks about his experience as a Pharisee and that righteousness that he had through the law. And he said, concerning the law, I was blameless. I had it made as a Pharisee, as far as the righteousness that they sought to achieve through the keeping of the law. But he said, those things which were gain for me, I counted loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, that I may know him and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness now which is of Christ through faith. Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, for any of you who want to be righteous on your own works and by your own efforts, that ought to discourage you once and forever. Because no one was more diligent in their endeavor to keep the law than were the scribes and Pharisees. And unless your righteousness exceeds them, you're not going to make it in. And then Jesus gave five illustrations that showed the fallacy of their understanding of the law. For in each of the illustrations, he was showing that they were interpreting the law in a physical sense, but the law was intended in a spiritual sense. And so you've heard that it was said in the law that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever kills is in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, whosoever hates his brother, hatred from which the murder comes. You've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looks on a woman and lusts after her in his heart has violated that command. So realizing that the law is spiritual, then I realize, though I may have kept the law outwardly, I have violated the law spiritually, and thus I am guilty before God. And that's the purpose of the law, to make you know that you're guilty before God so that you will seek now a new righteousness. For the law was a schoolmaster to teach us and to drive us to Jesus Christ, to make us despair of our own selves, to make us quit trying in our own flesh to achieve a righteous standing before God. That was the purpose of the law, is to make you just despair of your own flesh once and forever, so that you would seek the righteousness that God has provided through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if you twist the law and you use it as an instrument to make you feel very righteous, and you have this sense, well, I've kept the law of God. I live an honest life. I do my best and I try to be good and all. And, you know, I don't live like those heathen out there, you know, and all. Then you've misunderstood the intent of the law completely. And you're missing the righteousness of God. As Paul was pointing out, that the Jew, because he didn't follow God's righteousness, did not attain righteousness. However, the poor Gentile who just knew how desperately lost he was discovered the righteousness of God. So by the law, no flesh is going to be justified. By the law is the knowledge of sin. But because the law has brought me the knowledge of sin, now the righteousness of God without the law is made manifest. It is witnessed to both in the law and in the prophets, this righteousness which is by faith. God said to the prophet Hosea, the just shall live by faith. God said to Abraham, and he believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So this righteousness that God has now given to us apart from the law is revealed. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all of them that believe, for there is no difference, for all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But all of us can be justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. If you're aware of your inability to live a righteous life, you've struggled, you've cried out, you've done everything to live the righteous life, but you realize you can't, you're in good shape. You're a good candidate now for that righteousness that God has revealed through the faith of Jesus Christ. Having come to a despairing in myself and of myself, I am brought to Jesus Christ, and now this relationship with God through him, through the redemption that God has provided in Christ Jesus. For God has set him forth to be a propitiation through the faith in his blood, to declare God's righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just when he justifies him who believes in Jesus Christ. God is faced with a problem. God created man that he might fellowship with man. That was God's intent. Creating a creature with God-like capacities, a creature in his image that would be a self-governing creature as God is self-governing. The capacity to love as God loves. The capacity to know that infinity exists, that he might come into fellowship, a loving relationship with that infinite God. One thing was necessary, and that was that this creation use that choice to express his love for God through obedience, through faith. Therefore, there had to be an alternate choice, which in this case was the tree in the midst of the garden of knowledge and good and evil, so that man could exercise choice. Then God declared, of all of the trees that are in the garden, you may freely eat, except the tree in the middle. For in the day that you eat of that tree, you will die, a spiritual death. You'll lose your relationship with God. For the effect of sin in a person's life is always broken relationship with God. God's hand is not short that he cannot save. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. Your sins have separated you from God. So when man sinned, he put himself out of fellowship with God. That relationship with God was broken. Thus, the purposes of God were thwarted. Now, God still desired fellowship with man. But as long as sin was there, man could not fellowship with God. Something had to be done with man's sin, else there is no fellowship. Therefore, in order that God might renew fellowship with man, during the old covenant with the Jewish nation, he established a method by which you could take the guilt of your sin and transfer it onto an animal by faith. Bring your ox to the priest. lay your hands on its head, and confess on the head of that ox all of your sins. And then the priest would kill the ox and offer it unto God as a sin offering, whereby your sins could be covered by faith because the ox had died in your place. The death that you deserve because of your sins, because the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. So that was the righteous basis by which God could restore fellowship with man in the Old Testament. As a man would bring the substitute, let it die in his place, and then fellowship with God could be restored until man sinned again. Of course, if that were still true today, and we had sacrifices here, and you had to come and bring your animal for a sacrifice, and your sins could be forgiven, and you could sit here for a little while just fellowshipping with God and enjoying the blessing of God's presence and all in your life, it probably wouldn't last too long just driving from here to the freeway, even getting out of the parking lot. You might blow it. And thus you'd have to, before you could fellowship with God again, bring another sacrifice and get things all cleaned up once more. These sacrifices were all done in faith because they were looking forward to the sacrifice that God was going to provide for man's sins. And so there is that beautiful story of Abraham. When God said unto him, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice on a mountain that I will show you. Put that alongside of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, offer him as a sacrifice on a mountain which I will show you. And so Abraham took his servants and his son Isaac. And they began to journey towards this mount from Hebron. And after 3 days, they came to the mount, and Abraham said to his servants, you stay here, and I and the lad will go and worship and will come again. And as Isaac and his father were walking towards Mount Moriah, Isaac said, Dad, here's the wood for the sacrifice and the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, Son, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. And so they came to the mount, and Abraham began to, he put Isaac upon the altar, raised the knife, and God said, okay, Abraham, that's far enough. We've got the picture. Behold, a ram is caught by its horns there in the thicket, taken off for it as a sacrifice. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, or the Lord sees. And then he said, for in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Mount Moriah, where Abraham said God will provide himself a sacrifice. So that all of those sacrifices that later were instituted in the law of Moses all looked forward to the fulfillment of the prophecy of Abraham when God would provide himself a sacrifice. And 2,000 years later on Mount Moriah, God provided himself a sacrifice, for it was on the top of Mount Moriah that Jesus was crucified. So God declared his righteousness towards us. And God is righteous when he justifies us, for Jesus took our sins upon himself. And thus, the judgment of God, righteous judgment of God for sin, death, spiritual death, has been fulfilled. So that God is now righteous when he justifies me. There's a righteous basis for it. Someone else has stepped in and died in my place. And that's the whole gospel that deals with God's being just when he justifies the ungodly. God has justified me. He has declared me righteous before him through my faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. And thus I have received the remission of my sins which are past. And so God has shown his righteousness as he is just when he justifies those who believe in Jesus Christ. Where does that put boasting then? It's excluded. You see, I can't boast of all of the good that I have done, of all of the sacrifices that I have made, of the great difficulty of getting those 7 golden apples guarded by the multi-headed dragon that I bravely faced and killed with my sword after a terrible struggle. Boasting is excluded because I am declared righteous by my faith in Jesus Christ. And if there is any boasting to be done, it has to be done in Jesus. As Paul said, God forbid that I should boast save in the cross of Jesus Christ. And all my boasting has to be in what Jesus has done for me, not what I've done for him.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Romans on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Romans 3. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless and give you a beautiful week. May his hand be upon your life. And may the flame of love really begin to burn in your heart towards God. That this will be a week in which you're really in tune, in harmony with him. And that love and commitment is restored. And it's just a glorious week of thinking of him, worshiping him, serving him, loving him. May God be pleased with you by your commitment and devotion to him. In Jesus' name.
The Word for Today is excited to present the book Colossians by Kay Smith. Like the believers in Paul's day, we are living in the midst of culture craziness, and we too are vulnerable to the quick fix solutions of philosophers, Eastern mystics, and religious legalists. Through this powerful study of Colossians, Kay Smith helps you to discover the truth that Christ is supreme, the one who holds all things together. You are complete in him. No need to look anywhere else for fulfillment. And the wisdom to guard yourself against deception that can lead us away from the freedom found in Christ. Let God's Word refresh, renew, and strengthen your faith. You can order your copy of this book at twft.com or by calling 1-800-272-9673. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little Country Church.
This program program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.